This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. It is hump day, and we are here to talk about the big event of the day that is coming up at 4 o'clock Joe Biden time. Now, 4 o'clock Joe Biden time could mean it's 4:30, it could mean it's 5 o'clock, it could mean it's 6 o'clock. Only Joe Biden time will tell.
It's all about round-the-clock sex.
We do have a big event. Joe Biden will be taking questions. He'll be holding a solo press conference. And as I had pointed out a couple of days ago when this was first announced, because like all presidents, he announces it a week in advance and then goes into hiding. You know, so he can really, really...
Oh, this is going to sound wonky.
I don't know if he goes into some sort of like chamber, like an egg chamber that just pumps oxygen into it and gets him ready. I don't know what his pre-press conference routine is. I have to imagine it's like a pre-wedding, spa treatment on crack. It's got to be way more than what the rest of us use to prepare for something.
Or when you're sick, you stay home, you take echinacea and you take the like vitamin C nasal spray every couple hours and drink your fluids and just kind of...
But it's that for a week.
Out. Yeah, for a week.
Yeah, so he's definitely... Maybe he's going to cryo like Howie does. I heard that keeps your mind very sharp. I don't know what kind of machines they've got going, what he's doing, how he's prepping. Maybe
you
he
got
goes...
good blood, kid.
Maybe he goes off the ice cream for the week, you know, and that really clears his mind. I don't know. I don't know the secrets, okay? Here's what I do know. At 4 o'clock, he will be taking questions from, and I should really use air quotes for this, he'll be taking questions from reporters. And that is exciting because this is his first solo press conference of the year. And I know that they somehow figure out ways to count these differently. Like if he ever steps outside and, you know, says hi to a reporter, that counts as a Q&A. But I only remember one other press conference like this, and that was last year. And it was bad. He went back and forth. That was the press conference for people who don't remember this. First of all, if you don't remember this, that's wonderful for you. You probably have a very full life.
God love you, kid.
And you don't watch these things around the clock. I envy you. I admire you. God love you, kid. But at that press conference, he was going back and forth with Yamiche Alcindor. Used to work for PBS. Luckily now, we don't have to pay for her paycheck. She works for, I believe, NBC. So Yamiche had this question, and I will never forget it. She was asking about the crisis on the border, which, of course, at the time, we weren't calling it a crisis. It's a crisis under Donald Trump. It's a situation under Joe Biden. And she brought up the fact that he was, you know, a decent, compassionate man, and that's why people were trying to get over the border. And it really was, like, such a low point for journalism, because here was a guy who was finally taking questions. There were a lot of rumors that he can't really hold a sentence together. And you decide to still stick with the trained SEALs routine. It was brutal. I've probably written about that moment several times since then. And the reason I bring that up is because we're left to wonder, you know, what kind of questions he's going to get today. Now, that last press conference, that was it was a couple of months, I think, in, and everyone was asking, like, when's he going to hold one? When's he going to hold one? And then he held one, and then everybody kind of said, okay, we got one. We're good. And then we never got one again. So I thought when he last week said, oh, I'm going to have a press conference on Wednesday, I thought, of course you are. It's the new year. If you're shooting for one presser a year, you might as well get it over with. You know, it's like when you make your New Year's resolution, I'm going to go to the gym more. Well, if you didn't go to the gym at all last year, you go once January 1st, boom, check. New Year's resolution done, accomplished. And I think that's kind of what Joe's going for. He's like, I'll get this out of the way. I'll get this off my chest. And then I will return to wandering around the hallways, pulling dog's tails, and talking to Jilly B about the good old days.
Where is everybody?
Now, obviously, a huge part of this that is going to come into play is what these reporters are going to ask. Whenever they get the opportunity to just throw a real question at the leader of the free world, who is dealing with a myriad of different issues, they always disappoint. And I actually, yesterday, I was talking to a few people about what I thought they would ask. And every time I think, oh, things are so bad now, they can't ask a softball. Like, they just can't. They do. And their softballs now would be different, though, because when he started, the softballs were extra soft. They were, like, squishy. They were like, oh, what kind of ice cream do you like? We love your dog. What's it like being in the White House? Are you going to redecorate the plane? Now they're a little bit more of a subtle soft. And here's what I mean. I think the questions, rather than frame them in a way that might make Joe feel a little bit defensive, we know he has a glass jaw. I think the questions are going to be more framed towards, what do you think of people who say that January 6th wasn't a big deal? Or do you guys get what I'm getting at, though? Like, framing it in a way where he can dunk on someone else as if he's not the biggest problem in this country.
Why do you think Senators Manchin and Sinema have failed you, Mr. President?
Yeah, well, why? Some people are arguing that you're not being harsh enough with the unvaccinated. What do you say to those people? And also, Orange Man bad, and he's still bad, but can you comment on how bad he is?
Why is Donald Trump to blame for Putin going after the Ukraine right now?
Or they'll ask questions that will just allow him to go on and on and on and on. You know, open-ended questions where he can go from, you know, one place to the next, hop around, and then say, oh, sorry, I'm going into too much detail. I'm talking too much. I'm giving you too much detail. Because, yeah, that's always our issue with you, Joe. You just give us too much damn detail. That Socratic mind of yours, we can't keep up with you. But what I did, and this is why I kept this whole first hour open, I think this is going to be really fun. I'm asking the callers, if you were in that room of 30, it used to be like 60 people were allowed in, now they've cut it down to 30 for COVID reasons, of course. If you were in that room with Joe Biden and you got the microphone, you disguised yourself as a member of CNN or MSNBC or NPR, and you got the microphone and you get 15 seconds to ask this guy a whopper, what do you throw out to him? We've played this game before. I think it's fun. I think some people have questions in the back of their head that they've been waiting on. You're not going to get them. You're never going to get to ask Joe these questions. Even at a town hall, they will not pick you. They pick the Democrats in Republicans' clothing. They're not going to pick any actual Trump supporters. Now's the time on this show, 844-500-4242. And I want to run you through a couple of mine, okay? My first question would be, Mr. President, you claim Trump shouldn't be president after you resided over 220,000 Americans dying during COVID. Now that your numbers have surpassed that, do you either A, owe Trump an apology, or B, do you think you should also resign? I think an important part of dealing with Joe and Democrats in general is giving them optional choice. You know, don't give them a never-ending question, an open-ended question. You give them two options. A, you can either apologize to Trump, or B, you can resign. And honestly, for a Democrat, both of those are horrible options. That is like, would you rather for Democrats? That is two things that they never want to do in their entire lives. All right, next question I have. Why did your administration reject a COVID test supply before the holidays? There was a really interesting piece out a few weeks ago, and one of the scientists or doctors or whoever it was said that the reason the Biden administration didn't go on board with all these tests was because they lacked the imagination that the Trump administration had during Operation Warp Speed. So that should be his answer. Oh, we just lacked the imagination. We weren't as creative. We weren't as forward thinking. But I'm sure he'd come up with something more clever than that. Now here's
the lion, dog face, pony soldier.
Here's a good one. Mr. President, how would you grade your first year in office? I love the grade questions. I love this. I even used to hate this in school when a teacher would ask you, like, how would you grade your project? Because if you're someone like
me, 8 to 5, 2 to 3 out of 5.
You get so in your own head, you're like, if I say A, I'm going to come off as cocky. But if I say B, then I don't know. I can't really afford a B right now. You always end up saying, like, I think it's a solid 95.
Your own best advocate.
All right, what about this one? Mr. President. Oh, this is a really good one. And I might end on this one and then come back with the callers. How's this? Ready? So they say, he says, hold on here. Who do I get? Greece from HCRN. Go ahead, Greece. Thank you, Mr. President. It's Grace, by the way. Thank you. Mr. President, could you pledge right now that Kamala Harris will be your vice president in 2024? And then if he starts going somewhere, yes or no? Yes or no? Yes or no? I think I'm pretty good at this. I thought about these all morning. I'm like, what would I do given the opportunity? I would love to hear your questions. I know everyone's going to have different ones. I know you're going to text them in, but let's open up the lines. It's 844-500-4242. We are prepping for Joe Biden's second solo press conference. He has been hunkering down for days. All I picture is like the Rocky montages of him, you know, just lifting weights, sweating, running up snowy mountains, dragging
giant sides of meat conglomerate beef.
Yeah. Oh. And he's going to be in fighting shape, I'm sure. All right. We'll get back to your calls after the break. Have you ever craved a great glass of red wine, but memories of the after effects haunt you? I don't want to say I'm an expert in this, but if any drink has ever left me feeling not 100% the next day, it has to be red wine. And honestly, it's funny. I used to sometimes when we go on like business trips or whatever, I'd go with a mailroom manager to see clients and we both would be at dinner and I would say, I would love a glass of red wine. And she would say, I would too. And we would both agree like, but I'm going to hate how I feel tomorrow. There's something about red wine that if it's not right, if it's cheap, it really does mess with your mind. But that's because a lot of wines are chemically processed to extend their shelf life. So they're just trying to get them to last longer. So they pump them full of stuff that they don't need. And that is why you need Bonner Private Wines Partnership. They have exactly what you need. From my first sip, I could taste the freshness. What I loved about this wine, I have them all back right now at my house. And what I loved about it is it tastes like wine. Some of these wines nowadays, they're so pumped full of stuff and sugar that they actually end up tasting more like a watered down juice or like really grapefruity, really grape and fruity, I should say. This tastes like really bold, delicious wine that you can really savor with a nice piece of steak. I absolutely loved it. My husband loved it. And the best part is after you have the glass of wine, you sleep like a baby. You don't wake up and have that headache or that tension. It's just great. And Jared, I know you were able to try some too.
Yeah, I'm a big Malbec guy, and this is it's the real deal that we got from them. It's high altitude wine from Argentina. And it's glorious. It's everything you would want in a red wine and, you know, didn't wake up with a headache. So that's great.
Absolutely. A lot of these wine clubs, they sell leftover bulk wine just to add a fancy label. Bonner doesn't do that. They search the globe to ensure quality. They seek honest wines that don't need to hide behind excess filtration and additives only to add an inflated price. They want every pop of the cork to be an adventure. They want you to savor it, to enjoy it. And it really is. It's smooth. It's delicious wine. I think you guys are really going to like it. So just give it a chance. Join the Bonner Private Wine Partnership and have it delivered directly to your home. Your adventure awaits at Bonner. Go to B-O-N-N-E-R privatewines.com/grace for $50 off your purchase. If you love wine like I do, but you don't want to feel gross the next day, this is the wine to try. We'll be right back with your questions for Joe Biden's second press conference, first of the year, second in total. Any question you have for the unifier in chief coming up next.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
All right, before we get to your questions, that in a world where Republicans were allowed to ask the president questions, you would be in the presser, you would raise your hand, you would get to the microphone. What would you ask Joe Biden? I have plenty of questions for him, so I could do the whole segment by myself, but I'm glad to see we have callers on the line who want to join in. It's 844-500-4242. But before we go to the lines here, today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
How long will Biden's press conference last? Under 30 minutes? Under an hour or over an hour?
I'm sure they want it to last under 30, but I think they have to make it past the 30-minute mark. I'm going to say under an hour.
Under an hour right now at 39%, under 30 minutes in the lead at 53%, and 8% believe it will be over an hour.
It really does depend on how he's feeling today, you know, what kind of mood he's in. Linda, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Linda.
I wanted to ask Joe Biden, if a person can register for a COVID test and then go stand in line, why can't they just register to vote and then go stand in line?
Excellent question. Someone please cut her microphone. Stat, we cannot have that up in here. That is a perfect question, Linda. And on a similar note here,
racism.
I had kind of a similar question about this. I said, why, Mr. President, I have to start mine with that, you know, because I'm a theater major. So I like to really get into the context and the character here.
You got good blood, kid.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Can I ask my question now? Okay, great. Mr. President, why are illegal aliens exempt from testing and vaccine mandates, but a 15-year-old U.S. citizen is not? Take your time, please, sir, but be specific. Thank you.
I don't know, to be clear.
Okay. Is there anyone who... No one knows? Ron Klain, maybe? Is Jen Psaki back there? Jack, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jack.
Hi, Grace. Here's my question. Given that standard military protocol when evacuating a country is to remove citizens first, then military equipment, then military personnel, why did you evacuate Afghanistan in the opposite order?
Excellent question. And
sorry, Jack, you lost him at the second word.
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I hope we get some questions about the Afghanistan withdrawal, because to Jack's point, there was a lot of confusion about who knew what, because plenty of the higher ups in our military said that they warned the Biden administration that Afghanistan could fall. Now, Joe Biden and Jen Psaki, and I think Joe Biden was on George Stephanopoulos when he said this, said that they had really no idea that that was a possibility, that they didn't think that that was going to happen. So if you look at the timeline there, you should be able to get someone on record to say, so who's lying here? Did Joe Biden not get this information, which I highly doubt? I highly doubt the president of the United States did not get this briefing. Or is he just throwing all of these military higher ups under the bus because he got the information and chose not to listen to it? These are all really good questions. It's 844-500-4242. And we, throughout the day, I'm going to come up with more questions for them. Today, they're announcing that they have a plan to provide Americans with 400 million free N95 masks from the Federal Strategic National Stockpile to combat Omicron, which will be shipped to pharmacies by the end of the week. I'm sure there's a question in there somewhere. Just let me think if it.
Well, I'm curious how they got the 400 million whatever 95 masks in just 1 year. Where was that federal stockpile? Who put that together?
Very good question, sir. We'll take more of your questions for Joe Biden. He's coming out at 4, which could mean 4:35, 5:36. But we'll have plenty of questions for him when he gets here. 844-500-4242.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
President Biden holds a rare news conference tomorrow to reflect on his first year in office and to look ahead to the second. I say rare because take a look. Mr. Biden holds far fewer formal press conferences than did the three presidents who came before him. The president hits the one-year mark with slumping poll numbers and rising frustration within his Democratic Party.
Yeah, and he's in a very tough spot right now, and here's why. His agenda is basically dead. No, short of Joe Manchin or Kyrsten Sinema deciding that, you know what, I've been convinced by these gangs of crazy progressives who are following me to and from my house to switch over and abolish the filibuster. Unless that happens, a lot of what Joe Biden wants to push through, his Build Back Better, his Voting Rights Acts, you know, all of these pie in the sky policies and agendas are not going to happen. And that leaves Democrats in a weird position because they have 10 months until the midterms. They have 10 months to figure out how to avoid taking a massive beating in the midterms. And maybe it's unavoidable. Maybe it's already, you know, written in the sand. But as a Republican, I've seen that too many times where we don't know. You know, we have to keep promoting our own policies, our own agendas. We have to be on the offense, not on the defense. But Chuck Schumer is making a weird move because he's deciding to put forward a talking filibuster proposal even after the doomed voting rights vote today. I don't know if it's already happened yet, but he's going to make people go on record about abolishing the filibuster, which actually puts a lot of other Democrats in jeopardy because, you know, you have a lot of moderate Democrats who didn't want to voice up and be the Joe Manchin or be the Kyrsten Sinema, but they were happy to avoid, you know, acknowledging that they actually agreed more with the senators from West Virginia and Arizona than, let's say, these far left senators like Chuck Schumer. But now they're not going to have an option because Chuck Schumer is making them voice their opinion, which I can only take as Chuck Schumer's attempt to virtue signal to the far left progressives who he is one day going to have to attempt to win over when he inevitably goes up in a primary against Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So I think this is his way of throwing them some crumbs and saying, you know, please remember this when you try to bring me to the guillotine. I wanted to abolish the filibuster, and in the process, I lost like four or five people their spots. That's all I can imagine that this is. And Joe Manchin was actually, he was talking today, talking to a reporter, and he was talking about how this voting rights conversation has really been twisted in such an insane way to the point where there's people out there listening to the talking heads on CNN and MSNBC, and they actually think that Republicans don't want people to vote. That members of the GOP want to suppress voting rights. Let's listen to Joe Manchin, Cut 5.
Senator Manchin, what would you say to voters of color who say that your inability or your obstruction of the voting rights...
I'm not. There's no obstruction whatsoever.
But there are a lot of people out there who are saying that you're making it so that they're not going to be able to vote in the next election.
The law's there, the rules are there, and basically the government. The government will stand behind them to make sure they have a right to vote. We have that. The things they're talking about now are in court. Mark Elias has an awful lot in court. The courts have struck down. Like in Ohio, they struck down the gerrymandering. Things are happening, okay? We act like that we're going to obstruct people from voting. That's not going to happen.
And the bullying tactic of the progressives is not working, but that doesn't mean they're stopping. I saw today that Emily's List refuses to support Sinema for re-election. A political action committee dedicated to helping elect to office female Democratic candidates who support allowing abortions says it will no longer endorse Senator Kyrsten Sinema over her opposition to a change in the Senate rules. The president of Emily's List, LaFonza Butler, warned that Sinema may find herself whenever they write
filibusters these before sisters.
Whenever they write these, Jared, It's like you need mob music in the background. She warned that Cinema may find herself standing alone in the next election should she not support efforts to change the chamber's rules so Democrats can pass legislation to overhaul elections. It sure be a shame if you didn't get that donation, Kristen. They're all gangsters. They're all just trying to threaten and doom and gloom people into going along with something. And I agree with David Harsanyi, who we're having on the show a little bit later, when he says Kristen Sinema is an American hero. And I probably disagree with a lot of the things that she agrees with, but to have the cojones to look at these people who are out of their minds and say, you're not getting your way. You're not. We have allowed this kind of spoiled temper tantrum politics to take over, where people say, I'm going to hold my breath if you don't do what I want. You better do what I want. And it's just gotten worse every time these leftists get what they want. They want more. They're like the girl from Willy Wonka. I want an Oompa Loompa now. I want today. I want tomorrow. These are the Democrats right now. Nothing is good enough. And speaking of that, I don't know if you saw this story. Hadn't heard about one of these in a while. Hunger strike day 5.
Is that the one on the Capitol?
Yes. Yeah. As pain sets in, strikers feel disheartened but resolved. 3 drop out. So those 3 didn't feel resolved, obviously. Hunger strikers describing increasing pain on the 5th day of their protest for voting rights legislation, leaving some unsure how much longer they'll be able to continue.
Who are you?
The spirit of Cesar Chavez.
Why do you look like Cesar Romero?
Because you don't know what Cesar Chavez looks like.
You know, it would be interesting to ask some of these strikers, and I wouldn't ask them anything right now, because when people are that hungry, they can be very, very angry. Like, Jared, if you ever ask me a question when I'm starving, it's not me. Someone else takes over, you know? Angry, hangry Grace takes over.
I just want to check in on how the super protest is going for you guys.
Well, here's the issue. Pain is setting in. The strikers are feeling disheartened and resolved. Also, 3 dropped out. Now, they're not sure how they're going to be able to continue. 40 youth began the hunger strike advocating for the Senate to pass the Freedom to Vote John R. Lewis Act, a combination of voting bills. Democrats argue the legislation prevents voter suppression, while Republicans have argued it will open elections to fraud. I would be curious about this group of hunger strikers. I would ask them, how do you feel about vaccine passports?
Tasty, meaty, turkey-filled, cold-cut combo.
Yeah, maybe that's how I would phrase the question. I would say, how do you feel about having to have a vaccine passport to get inside a Shake Shack where you can get a juicy, delicious cheeseburger with crinkle-cut fries, ketchup, and a major milkshake on the side? Did I mention double cheese? I would like to know their take on vaccine passports. And it says 3 activists have dropped out of the hunger strike. Unpack co-founder Shannon Gallagher describes feeling numb. The headaches and trouble sleeping she experienced on day 2 have not wavered. It's been really hard. I know that this is serious for these people, but you don't have to do this. Like, not even the people, you know, not even these Democrats who claim to care so much about this. Trust me, they're not missing any meals. Like, they're all going home. They're all going out to lunch in D.C. They're not missing any meals here.
You keep meatballs in your jacket?
Do you remember the hunger strike in, do you ever watch Summer Heights High?
I'm not familiar with that.
I'm going to find the audio of it. We'll play when we come back. It's so funny. They try to do a hunger strike. It lasts like 40 minutes. These people have gone a couple days. It just, I'm worried about them. It does not seem healthy. It does not seem productive.
And also, you know, being malnourished does put you at a higher risk for catching COVID. It is a, like, there's a deficiency in all the vitamins and the minerals, things you need to fight.
Oh yeah, sure.
So this is very counterproductive.
It weakens your immune system. And I'm sure that, you know, because this is in D.C. and people in D.C. can be so ruthless, I'm sure there's a couple of Republicans who are walking by those protesters with some thick turkey thighs.
Where's the meat?
Just to rub it in. John, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Grace. You know, I really like to ask Joe and Jill, how come they didn't go to a shelter and adopt a dog? I know they got a new puppy.
Good question. I was actually, I'm glad you brought up that question, John, because I had a question on the dog as well. Let me see this. Mr. President, will you ever bring Major back? And see, I shouldn't have to yell it like this because he technically won't be on the run from the press, which he usually is. So maybe I'll try a different voice. Hold on, because, you know, this is a one-on-one with the president. Mr. President, will you ever bring Major back? And also, follow up, if Chief starts biting people, will he also get sent to some farm?
Dogs may help cure cancer.
Here's a few other questions I have. Mr. President, do you think the TikToks with Bill Nye, the Science Guy, and the Jonas Brothers are helpful or a good use of your time? And if so, explain. I like to throw those in too. And if so, explain. Because then it's like, ugh, I have to explain it. Do you regret any of your policies, including shutting down the Keystone Pipeline, that have made America energy dependent on other countries? Mr. President, do you think Russia-Ukraine relations have improved since you took office? Be specific.
My mind's going blank now.
You know what I'm realizing is that this reminds me of when I was in school and you'd have to take those tests, like standardized tests. I wasn't a very good student, and or just any kind of test in general. Like if you didn't do the reading for something and you had a test on it, and the worst thing I would read was they'd ask you a question and I'd already be like, I don't know what this means. Like, you know, you're looking around and you're like, is anyone else confused here? And then it was a dreaded sentence with two words in it. Be specific. I was like, be specific. I'm trying the best I can to be vague. You expect me to be specific? I didn't even read this book. So I'd be looking for a lot of specificity from Joe. All right, here's another good one I have. Kamala Harris's poll numbers are very bad, Mr. President. What do you think she could improve on? You know, kind of pin them against each other. Mr. President, your former BFF once said, never underestimate Joe's ability to bleep things up. Do you think the American people underestimated you?
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Also, in that same vein, Mr. President, Barack Obama once said at a certain point, you've made enough money. Has Hunter reached that point yet? And when do you think that point will be? I think these are pretty good. Mr. President, why can't we see the Delaware visitor logs? And also, would you be willing to do a cognitive test for the American people on live TV? If not, why not? Now I'm just being a jerk. 844-500-4242. We have a lot more to talk about. We also have a lot of great guests today. We have Libby Emmons from the Post Millennial to talk about those freight train thefts in LA. She's also going to be talking to us about CNN censorship, all that good stuff. And then later we have David Harsanyi from the National Review. He had a lot of great pieces about this Texas hostage scenario and why the left was so keen on downplaying any signs of anti-Semitism. We'll be talking to him about that. But until then, let's keep the lines open. Let's keep the conversation going. I'm excited for today. I think this is a fun Wednesday pick-me-up. I'm mostly excited because Howie's going to have to take it live, and I'll get to play them tomorrow when they're all sliced up and nice for me. I don't like to take that stuff as it goes. It's just, it can become too frustrating. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is a superb architect. When it comes to dentistry, he's the best at what he does. He fixes your teeth and your smile, but what he really does is he builds your self-confidence. When you have a smile that you're proud of, it builds confidence in your professional life and in your personal life. The better you look, the better you feel. And that helps every aspect of your life, every interaction you have daily. If you're not afraid to smile, every other part of life becomes so much easier. That is absolutely true. It's a new year, and you have the opportunity to make 2022 the year for a new you. If you've thought about Perfect Smiles before, but you've put it off, you've never called, well, now's the time. This year, take care of yourself. You deserve it. Call Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. They're conveniently located right off Route 3, and they have plenty of parking. You can reach them at PerfectSmiles.com. That's where you can also check out their video testimonials. That's PerfectSmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. We'll be back with more of your calls. It's 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. We have so much to discuss today, including interviews with Libby Emmons and David Harsanyi. I'm very excited about that. But now, Jared, I think it's time that we do a little bit of a, where in the world is Kamala Harris?
Freedom!
Tell me where in the world is
Kamala Harris.
Tell me where in the world.
Oh, tell me where can't she be?
That's what a great time.
I can't say where she is right now, because I don't know. However,
she's at the top of the stairs in the Delaware basement waiting to push someone?
No. But I know where she might be later this month. According to CNN, Vice President Harris will visit Honduras for the inauguration of Xiomara Castro.
Will I know?
She's been to a lot of places, and you remember her New Year's resolution was to get out of D.C. more. So just like Joe's New Year's resolution was do one press conference, I would say these two are off to a pretty good start, okay?
That was her biggest failure as vice president.
Yeah, she was in a bubble. She was in a bubble. She will be visiting this woman, Xiomara Castro, a former first lady whose husband was ousted in a coup 12 years ago, is set to become the first female president of Honduras. The self-proclaimed democratic socialist had run twice before her presidential win this past fall. She sounds like their very own Hillary Clinton. Harris has been tapped by President Joe Biden to oversee diplomatic efforts in the Northern Triangle to address immigration, but it's not clear what policy-related efforts she'll undertake while in Honduras. Well, yeah.
It's pretty clear to me. Zero.
All right, take it easy, CNN. Suddenly you need a write-up of everything she's doing. Lord help us, that they're really turning on this administration at warp speed, I might add. Speaking of that, let's take a listen to what's happening over at CNN. Abby Phillips is describing how, you know, none of this is Joe Biden's fault. He's just a victim of circumstance. Cut nine.
He is between a rock and a hard place. You have so many Democrats in the base saying, why didn't you work on some of these issues that we really cared about? Why did you focus on infrastructure, on all of this other stuff as your first priorities? And the Biden thinking was, if we get COVID under control, if we get the money in people's pockets, then we have a better chance of going into the midterm election cycle. They didn't foresee the impacts of COVID and on that extra money in their in people's pockets on inflation. And so there in a really tough spot because they made some choices a year ago that are coming back to them in a way
that they did not anticipate. I would disagree, and I think this is what Joe Scarborough was getting to earlier today on his show, but I would disagree. I think Biden's problem was he gave too much attention to the progressive faction, or, you know, that five-person wing of his party, as Nancy Pelosi described it. He gave them the reins. When in reality, I think, especially right now, as all of this stuff is being stalled, I think a lot of the moderates who held their noses and voted for Biden only to not vote for Donald Trump are probably hoping that everything is dead now as far as his agenda goes, and they can just wait until the midterms to get out of this mess. but I don't think the angry progressives are the only things he has to worry about. All right, when we come back, we're talking to Libby Emmons from the Post Millennial. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.